You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. Chris Harrison, Lauren Zima coming to you from the home office in Austin, Texas on this Christmas week.
Christmas week. Christmas time is here. Are there not songs from holiday movies that just stick in your head or lines that do? Like there's probably, I would say there is no genre of movie rewatched more than holiday movies. I was reading the other day about how valuable the like IP is on holiday movies because people just watch them over and over and over again.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a holiday or something else as like a genre.
You
like,
quote Elf all the time. Year round you quote Elf.
It's one of the greatest movies, period. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Not like holiday movie, just one of my favorite movies of all time. I think it's genius.
What is your favorite line from Elf?
I mean, the one that gets me every time is the coffee shop.
He walks in and...
Yeah, he's walking through New York for the first time, obviously, and he sees, if you've ever been to New York, it's like, you know, world's best pizza, world's best cup of coffee. And he sees that and he jumps in and he says, congratulations, everybody, you did it. And it's just, and the looks, it's not as much Will Ferrell's delivery, which is genius, but the looks of the employees and everybody in there is just like, so New York.
And that so applies year round. If someone does something, Chris goes, congratulations, you did it.
And people are like, you're an idiot. But I also like the use of New York. Like it was a really good
real news. Character in that
movie. It was
movie.
A very good New York movie.
Best uses of New York. Well, not best, but up there, Sex and the City and Elf the movie.
It really is. They did it. I mean, it's a solid, legit New York.
I would like to speak to someone about the chemical thing in our brain that instantly makes you remember like a quote or a song lyric. It will pop in your brain. Like I did it. I just got my haircut. I just came back from a haircut. And the wonderful woman, by the way, if you're in Austin, I love Deep Roots Salon, specifically the Cedar Park location is incredible. Shout out to Tara and Mallory. But she was coloring my hair and she just said, you know, yeah, on my own. And in my brain, I instantly go Les Mis and I go on my own. And I did it. And I'm like, oh, I said to her, she and I, this is the first time she colored my hair. I said, well, we know each other well now. You know that I can't not go to musicals. Like, what is that in your brain?
Mike Tirico, the great, I don't know. There are certain songs, and I was thinking about Mike Tirico, the sportscaster. He said this week, he's like, I watch Home Alone every year. And someone was giving him a hard time, like, come on, you really don't. And I'm like, we watch Home Alone every year.
You and I, with no kids in sight, decorated the tree together and watched Home Alone.
We watched Elf and Home Alone as we decorated the tree and we cooked dinner.
Because
I was like,
they're
I love
good
it.
Background movies. Yeah. You've seen them so many times that you don't have to be actively watching. You were cooking, I was putting up the tree, and we were half watching, half listening.
My question for you, what's the Home Alone song that pops in your head? When you think Home Alone, what is the song? What's the scene? What's the song? Because that's your favorite movie.
It's the, when you hear the chorus of the kids, it's kind of like when he's building up to fight back against the, you know, the wet bandits, and you hear the little kids choir. They go, they go, fall on your knees. I can't hit that falsetto.
Why is fall on your knees the same as Dobby is free?
Wow. If we're talking about movies, everybody, I don't know if marriage has changed, Chris Harrison, but I was taking a bath the other day, which I could get into that whole thing. Are you a bath person or not?
Nope.
I am not. And yet I try to make myself do it sometimes because I think it's healthy.
I appreciate that about you.
But all I do is get stressed out. You appreciate that I'm not a bath person?
No, I appreciate that you're like, you have this beautiful bathtub in this beautiful house and you're like, I'm going to be this person. And you're not. Like, but you've tried.
It's wasted
times.
On me. I feel bad. Like, my sister loves baths. Some people, you either are a bath person or you're not.
But I like that you go in with the intention of, I'm going to have a real moment to myself and this spa-like moment. And guys, 5 minutes later, I'm getting text messages. I hear her in there and I'm like, it's not going well. She's a caged animal in a bathtub.
It's so boring. Yeah. I'm sweaty. I'm like, am I clean? I'm just sweating in here. I don't think, here's a real question. Uh-huh. Little kids aside, like, kids are different. Right. If you're an adult and you take a bath, are you clean afterwards?
No, you're just stewing in your own juices.
That's what I think. I'm like, I got to take a shower after the
bath.
It
does no good. Yeah, you have to. I can't remember the last time I took a bath. Maybe when I was sick.
You know what? Can you use our bathtub? Because then someone will be.
No, I do not like baths.
Why not?
If I'm sore or sick and it's like, we have a hot tub. I'd rather go get in the hot tub.
Okay, interesting. Well, yeah, you know what? I agree with you, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm in the bath. And I come out and I realize, well, I've been wasting my time in the bath. You have been on your own watching a Harry Potter movie, which is why he just brought up Dobby. Dobby is free.
Hot take. Apparently, it's the worst one. Your least favorite, Chamber of Secrets.
Chamber of Secrets is... it's not my least favorite book, but I do think it's maybe the worst movie.
Interesting. Okay.
Acting wise, the kids didn't know how to act yet. In the first movie, you forgive them. You're like, these are young kids. They're acting for the first time. I don't expect it to be that great. But the third movie, you're like, okay, the acting's still not that great. The story, some of the lines, some of the shots, it's just not great. What did you, here's my question. What made you just actively on your own
when you
watch a Harry Potter movie?
Marriage has changed me. The only reason I ever stop at Harry Potter movies is because of you.
But what is the reason?
I just want to, and it's funny because I don't sit and watch all of them, and I have still not watched all of them, and it's kind of fun, and I wonder if you're envious of me, because I was watching Chamber of Secrets for the first time last night.
What I would give to experience the reveals of the Harry Potter series again.
I did not know who opened the Chamber of Secrets, and I knew it wasn't Hagrid. He's too lovable, and because I've seen him in other parts of the movies, and I'm like, nope, he's a lovable figure. The only way he would have done it is stupidly on accident because he is a bumbling fool at times. All the time. That's his character. And so I was like, okay, maybe he did it on accident, but I knew he was being set up. But yeah, it's because of you that I will watch these and I will eventually watch them all.
That makes me feel so loved.
I don't know when.
That makes me feel so loved and it makes me wonder if I should be watching more sports for you. Okay,
hot take. I have also not watched the other ones, the New Zealand ones, because we went to New Zealand.
Oh, Lord of the
week.
Rings?
I have not watched Lord of the Rings either. I've seen parts of it.
Where
like
were you? The Lord of the Rings movies were so big.
I know the
where
Precious.
Where were
I know,
you?
I know
what
part
were you
of it.
Doing?
They just don't appeal to me. I guess that type of sci-fi does not appeal to me. I was definitely in the Star Wars generation that came out when I was, 7 or 8 years old. That captured my imagination. Never a Star Trek
guy. Do you think you didn't go, is that it? Or I have heard from people, because when the Lord of the Rings movies came out, you had young kids. And I do feel like when you're a parent and you have young kids, you're so busy with that, that you kind of miss out on like cultural happenings.
Is that when those came out? Early 2000s?
Early 2000s.
Yeah, so that then I, if it wasn't animated, I can tell you about every animated movie from 2001 through 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the Cars. And by the way, it was a unbelievable Hall of Fame home run set of animation at that time. Like all the great movies came out at that time.
Like, I'm trying to think of one, but it wasn't
all the Cars, all the Nemos, all the Toy Stories.
I mean, Toy Stories started mid-90s.
And then
first Toy Story is like 94. Yeah.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, then maybe Josh just got caught the tail end of those.
Yeah.
But we had a great run. Enchanted, another one that was good.
Half animated.
Half of it was animated.
Finding Nemo, I'll give you. Cars, okay.
But anyway, so we digress.
So thank you for watching the Harry Potter movies. It makes me feel loved. And also thank you for saying I don't have to start watching sports.
No.
Can I make an argument for something?
Uh-huh.
I think movies are a more neutral thing than sports. Like it's a more all-encompassing, like there can be sports movies.
Well,
there
it's can easier be musicals. To find common ground.
Right, but so I think a person should be more inclined, like if someone's like, who you're dating says, I love this movie, I think you should be more inclined to give that movie a shot than like a whole type of activity. Does that make sense?
Oh, I agree. I see where you're coming and I agree.
I'm just making the case for myself not watching sports. But no, do you agree? Okay.
There's a good chance I'm going to like something about your movie.
I would watch a sports movie with you. I like a lot of movies about sports.
Like if you say to me, you may not love this movie, but Chris Pine's in it or Stanley Tucci's in it. I'm like, okay, I'm in.
You can find an entry
yeah,
point.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Like,
and really,
sports,
it's just
I got nothing.
The Tooch. And so, Merry Christmas week to everybody. I hope everybody's kind of heading home, wherever you are, and the kids are coming home. Lauren and I just tried to drive from Fort Worth yesterday back home to Austin, and it's literally, I think, everybody in the world was on the road. So, truly, everyone's heading home for the holidays. And so, it's
by the way, you casually dropped in that we went to New Zealand.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't want to go on about it too long because we have so much to get to, but beautiful country. I ran around quoting The Hobbit, as I guess you just have to. Gorgeous beaches, gorgeous mountains, the kindest people. And the whole reason we went was because these dear friends of ours, actually the guy who officiated our wedding mm-hmm. and his wonderful wife who sang at our welcome dinner, she is from there and they have a home there that they just finished. But what this kind of got us talking about, like we were there for a while, we went there for a week, is what is a gauge of a friend you can really travel with? Like, I think it's so important for couples to have couple friends, and we've talked about this.
Right.
But it's a whole different thing when you're talking about going to dinner with another couple versus traveling. And you have a great phrase for this.
Boat people. Yacht people.
Boat people. Can you explain that?
It is, if you are stuck on a boat, you're traveling, you're not stuck with them. Who would you choose to go on vacation with and say there you're on a yacht, you're on a boat that has two rooms, four rooms, whatever. So you are in pretty confined quarters. These are people you're going to be on top of a lot on this boat. You're going to have to eat, drink, and sleep with them. You will not sleep with them, but you know what I mean. You're going to see each
you're
other
in
a lot.
Close quarters.
Yes, close quarters.
In a hotel, you can escape. On a boat, you cannot.
Right. I was like, hey, we're gonna walk into town. And you're like, oh my God, I can't get away from Bob and Marie fast enough. You can't. You're stuck. You can't walk on water. You can't disappear. You're stuck with these people. Who are your boat people? Because I would contest there are people you would travel with that still aren't boat people.
This is the best level.
Yes.
Of like, I mean, is it the best level of friendship? It's definitely just a certain level of friendship where it's someone you can easily be around nonstop.
These are your, I guess the kids would call it your ride or die.
What are the parameters for this? What are the boxes to check to know if someone's your boat person?
After 3 days, you don't want to murder them. That's it. It's three-day test. You know, it's a three-day.
You could call it boat people or you could call it won't murder them people.
It's the three-day fish test. You know, you leave fish out on the dock for 3 days. At third day, it's spoiled.
Really? You can get through the first 2 days.
So
I'm just learning that.
That test of just not wanting to do physical harm, of like, I can't be with these people for one more minute. That laugh or that obnoxious whatever, or they drink too much, or they, whatever it is, those annoying characteristics that you just can't stand, after 3 days, that's it.
I think the people generally have to be positive people. Like, that's a huge part. You can't have someone who's a complainer or negative, like, you know,
everything.
Again,
yeah. The person that finds the, you know, gray cloud in the silver lining.
Well, or even if it's their sense of humor. Like, some people are really funny, but their sense of humor is kind of making fun of things. That can get old. I think you have to be around people who are generally positive. I think critically they have to be up for things. Like, yeah, let's go to dinner. Yeah, let's try that hike. It can't be like, you know, I'm just the stay-at-home person. Or they have to go with the flow of the group.
Well, and yeah, you got to match. I think energies and ideas and activity, like, you got to match up.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that is. If you're all, we sit by the pool all day people, great. But if one group or one couple is, we sit by the pool and sip on Mai Tais and just get sun. And then the other group is, we like to go spearfishing and and surfing and hiking, and they're very active, that will not work.
You're right. You have to find the, I mean, it's like a relationship. And just like a relationship, I think with friendship, traveling together can be a real test of a friendship.
But the most difficult thing is it's easier to find that in a relationship because you're finding it with one person. It is so hard to find husband and wife, man and woman, or whatever, just the both of a couple. You're finding two humans that you get along with. Because how often is it, you know, we love her, but oh, the husband, or we love him, but oh, the wife. And so you got to match up.
You're right. It's more challenging to find boat people than it is to find the life partner.
Yeah. It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase, so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Not only is it a big week because of the holiday, but we're coming off of some pretty big podcast episodes for you.
Yeah, I had a huge response. Thank you to everyone who listened to the Jason Tardik podcast. We did two episodes because it was just too good. We had to break it up. And the sit down with Jason was received very well. Overall, it was received well. You know, I talked a little bit about this on social media. I got a couple of messages. Where's the tea? I'm not learning anything new. You know, I dealt with that a little bit of that's not what this was about. That wasn't my goal. And I will admit there's a little hypocrisy for 20 years. That is what I did. You know, I would go for some of that meat, because that was the show and that was the intent.
But you know what though? You told me after the interview, mm-hmm. I did not listen to it. I was in the other room and I was just kind of, cause you and Jason have a great relationship. I just wanted to let you do it. Cause I knew that you were going to probably get into some stuff about Caitlin. But after you guys recorded, you told me later, you said, look, before we went into it, I did think maybe we'll really dig in and maybe we'll get some answers on things. But in the moment, and I think this is commendable to you because you got both types of moments for years on the show. You got the emotional moment and the revealing moments, sometimes both in one. But you made the call in the moment with Jason to just say, you know what? He's still so emotional and raw about yeah. this, that this is not the time as both his friend and someone interviewing him to dig deep. Like he's still, his emotions are still so at the surface that this isn't the let's dive in and I want you to spill right. all the tea moment.
Well, and we set some parameters as we started because he was really concerned and respectful about Caitlin. He did not want this to come off as start this whole he said, she said thing. And I didn't either because, you know, it's interesting when you're doing an interview. And again, I said this, it was a guy who broke up with someone, but it's a guy who broke up with a friend of ours. Like, I like Caitlin. I respect her. This wasn't about let's bury Caitlin and who's
right. Ahead of the wedding, we were both texting both of them. Like, yeah. Hey, how are you guys at? Where are you guys at? We wanted both of them to feel super comfortable at the wedding.
And he did actually give me a lot of leeway to go there. And I could have asked some of these kind of pointed questions. And you're right in that it didn't feel right now. We did dig deep in a different direction. We just got so emotional and it got so heavy and the show really became about loss and about breakups. And I thought it was so much more effective and relatable to all of you that this wasn't the time for that. And we even said after, because it was exhausting and we had a drink and he's like, you know, maybe someday we revisit this. And when things aren't so fresh and you know, that the wounds have healed a little bit for both of them.
Well, they were together for, I mean, we started dating yeah. like at a similar time they did. So they'd been together
4 years,
four or five years. I mean, absolutely. I remember, cause I think I broke the news. I remember I interviewed Jason like right when they'd kind of first flirted. And I'm pretty sure I broke the news at the time. Like, oh no, they're really going out together.
Right.
So I remember that moment. And, you know, again, we love them both and want the best for yeah. both of them. But it does seem like I want to get into, we actually have a couple really good questions from all of you right. that we pulled from our DMs to ask because there are still follow-up questions. But my first question is, after that interview, mm-hmm. do you think there's any reconciliation to happen in the future between the two of them?
I mean, you
romantically.
Oh, as I say, romantic, because they've reconciled, which I really appreciated. And I will add that Jason even talked to Caitlin post, you know, to let her know this is coming out, but we were very respectful. And Caitlin, to my knowledge, has no problem with anything that was said, which is wonderful. And it also shows how much they've both grown and they can be respectful and start talking. And I think our wedding had a lot to do with that. We did joke about that in the podcast. You know, there was that moment you were sitting there too with me when they were by our refrigerator in our kitchen and they were both kind of, you know,
on the wedding weekend.
The body language was palpable at the party mm-hmm. we had here the night before our wedding, but it didn't go there. He did admit that. I don't see it going there. I don't think they should. I think they have made a clean break. And while I think sometimes we, and I say we as fans of them, want that to happen, like it would just make us all feel good, I don't know if that's what's best for them.
Mm.
I think they are growing and going in different directions, and I respect that for both of them.
Well, this leads into Krista's question. Krista says, Chris, Jason didn't make it clear why he and Caitlin decided to break up.
Yeah.
What happened? And or I'll add, what do you think happened?
I know some stuff that happened, you know, from both of them. And it's not, I'm not going to say it was her fault, his fault. It does not matter. And I guess that's my main takeaway from the podcast was I don't care. And I don't want you to care. And I know we all kind of have this insatiable appetite for, come on, man, give me the dirt. But it wasn't about that for me in that interview. And I didn't want it to become about that. So, you know, none of our business. And I thought about myself and my divorce or breakups I've had. And like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't care whose fault it is. I don't want that to come out.
I also think that when people have been together that long, it's not just one thing.
Of course.
You know, you're right. I mean, if somebody's in just a relationship a couple months and you break up, you could write it off as, you know, he was just too full of himself.
Right.
Or maybe you're dating 6 months and you find out somebody cheated. Well, I thought I knew him and he didn't. He cheated and I don't even want to waste any more time. But years and years in, it's not that simple. It's right. About more than just an easy answer, I think, in every situation.
And there's rumors out there. You can go online and go on the deep Reddit web and
the deep Reddit web.
Yeah, you can go on
the DRW.
Yeah, and there's plenty of rumors and innuendos. I'll leave that to the tabloids.
Next up, Ashley says, Jason talked about his age and how he wants to find his person and start a family. Oh, it's for me. She says, I have a question for Lauren. Before mm-hmm. meeting Chris after your divorce, did you panic about meeting someone? Great question, Ashley. Jason and I talked about this just like before and after you guys went into record as well, because I think we're about the same age. I just turned 36. I think Jay's 35.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that, you know, I know he told you that too. And I said, like, Jason, the quick answer is no. I was not worried about it. Now, granted, part of that was probably that I'd been married and I'd just gotten divorced and I was sort of like, you know, I was ready to be out of the situation I was in. So I was right. just feeling some relief
and
there.
He's not been down the aisle yet.
Yeah. I think if you're in your early mid 30s and you have not been married yet, it's impossible to not feel that. There's that societal right. pressure. You're scared. You're losing time. You feel like, you know, I should be having kids and you feel all that. But no, I wasn't. And I guess I would say to everybody, really try to not be. I think losing my dad taught me this. You just don't know what life has planned for you. I mean, my dad died in his early 50s, mm-hmm. like pretty close to your age. And there were a bunch of things he still wanted to do, you know, but there are also a bunch of things he did. Yeah. And I've really taken that lesson with me of like, I think you can find happiness and sorrow at any age in life. And this, you know, panic is really just a product of what we think our cultural norms are.
Yeah.
But you had some advice for Jason,
Well, too. And Jason did say, he's like, you know, we wasted some good years and we've lost some good years. And I'm like, you know, 30 to 34, you know.
You're looking at it going, dude, you're still a baby.
Yeah, but I have the benefit and experience of time. So I can look back and realize 30 to 34, man, I was still figuring things out. And so is he. And so I get that. Obviously, you don't know what you don't know. And he hasn't lived those extra years and that extra decade. And so, you know, I look at myself and to your point you just made so fantastically, did I think I would meet the love of my life at 47? No, I thought it would happen a lot earlier. I thought I would have met the love of my life and someone but that's when it happened. And that's when I gave myself the grace and allowed that to happen. And now I'm the happiest I've ever been in my early 50s. And so who's to say when it's supposed to happen? And who's to say if it had worked out with Caitlin and right. they did get married, that would have been the one. You don't know what life's going to throw at you. So give yourself a little bit of a break.
Yeah. I was just talking to somebody the other day about, you know, because look, a lot of young people have been through the pandemic right now. Like mm-hmm. this was someone who's in their 20s and they were like, well, my 20s are supposed to be this really fun time, but the pandemic screwed it up. And I get that. My 20s are supposed to be really fun. My dad died and the recession happened and there were no jobs. But like my 30s have been amazing, you know? And I would also hope that life only keeps getting better. I know life will also continue to send hardships our way, but I've just always approached it with like the outlook of it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah. Well, and look, when you take the knife out of the wound, it's pretty raw. It's hard to have perspective mm-hmm. of what I'm grateful for. But you and I have this already about our first marriages. There are things we're both grateful for. And you can take that later. And I think Jason will look back and be like, oh, that relationship with Caitlin wasn't wasted time. I'm grateful that I learned this. I learned this about myself. Even if it's only learning about yourself and you were with someone who was bad, then you're still learning and now you're growing and you are a better, bigger person as you head into the next relationship. Yeah. Jason will know what he's looking for more so. So will Caitlin next time. They'll be better prepared.
Well, that leads into Lori's question. She says, Chris, what type of partner do you think would be the right fit for Jason?
Jason's a big, he's a big lover, man. He's a big Buffalo lover. He's
he's from Buffalo.
He's from Buffalo.
He doesn't just love Buffalo. You know, for our non-sports people.
No, but I mean, like, he's a down-home boy. Family means everything to him. Loyalty, that type of person that's just going to really kind of dive in with him.
Jason is such a good dude. Can I say, like, so when you guys did the podcast, he stayed at our house.
Yes. Not all guests get to sleep over.
We've never had someone from the show.
No.
Sleep over.
No, you're right. Yeah, no one has. Yeah, he is the first to.
First and only to sleep over. Yeah.
Firestones? Have they spent the night here?
No. Oh, you know what? They did at our house in LA. Yeah. Okay, Firestones did.
I know. Well, people have spent the night at my house in LA before. Yeah.
But no one in Austin.
Yeah, no one in Austin. Okay, I told him he was the first one I've interviewed here in Austin. And then obviously he stayed and we went to dinner afterwards.
Well, it was great to get. I had never had that like one-on-one hangout, just not interview time with him as much.
Yeah.
And little things you can tell. I think there are little basic tried and true tests of what kind of person somebody is. Manners, helpfulness. Jason left his room. I'm going to give him a shout out. Jason Tardik left his room spotless. He made the bed. He hung up his towel. His room was spotless when he left. Not only did he do that, he said, hey, you guys are going to the airport too. Well, I have a car. Do you want to just jump in with me? Not only did he do that.
Getting him to the airport 3 hours early for his flight and on time for ours.
Yes, that's a sacrifice.
Jay and I went to the gym, worked out, and then we came back and we were leaving town, going to the airport. And I had to, you know, put out the trash. And so I was breaking down boxes. So Jason started breaking down boxes.
He literally took out our trash. He broke down my many Amazon cardboard boxes that I'd had from wedding stuff. Jason just helped break down boxes at our house. So he is... He's good as he seems.
Yeah, yes. No, he's good people, and he's going to do just fine. He'll find somebody. It's way.
Well, I don't know. This might go into Hannah's question.
Oh,
Hannah asks, Chris, do you think Jason would be good on another reality dating show?
100%. I think he'd be fantastic on a reality dating show. I would love to produce a show for Jason Tardik to help him find love. I think that would be a great show. And I think he'd be wonderful because he's so sincere. He's so honest. You're going to get such raw emotion from him. What, you know, I'm a big fan of people of what you see is what you get. You know, Sean Lowe was that, whether you like him or not, it's like what you see is what you get. That was him. And so I think he would be wonderful. And
weren't you championing for Jason to be the Bachelor?
Yeah, it was me and Bennett, one of the other executive producers at the time, Bennett Graebner, also from Buffalo. So I think there was a Buffalo thing. Some of the other people just weren't having it, probably because we did like him. And I forget who we went with instead.
Who? I can't remember.
Colton. Yeah. Oh gosh, we got Colton.
Well, we did get the fence jump moment. Colton wasn't a bad call.
I told him, I said, Jason, you couldn't have made that jump. You're not that athletic. But no, in answer to your question, yes, I think he would, it would be too soon to do it right this minute, but he would be really good.
All right. Just two more quick questions. And they kind of go together. Brett says, Chris, I have a question. Do you think crying is a weak thing for men to do? I feel like this is a quick answer.
No. Absolutely not. 100%. Take it from a guy who bawled like a baby at both of my weddings. I cry all the time with my daughter. And yeah, no, it is not only not a weak thing, it's necessary. And it's the most empowering, wonderful thing.
I don't know that you want to be the one who's always crying.
Right.
But I think there's nothing stronger than showing your emotions, and crying is so vulnerable and there's strength in that vulnerability. Colleen, we'll finish off with this question from Colleen and it piggybacks off Brett's. Chris, how did you learn how to handle people crying to you? You were so good at this on the show and on this podcast episode with Jason.
It was off-putting at first. It was something I had to learn. It was a skill I had to learn. I was a dad, and so I had a crying baby at the time. Josh was very young, so I wasn't used to really people crying to me on an emotional level like that. So I really didn't know how to handle it, but I just think it fit in with my Midwestern disposition and the way I grew up, to be a caretaker, to be empathetic, to listen. It really taught me to just shut up and listen. Because in that moment, people don't need to be fixed. They don't need to be told what was right, what was wrong, whose fault it was, or they definitely don't need the "I told you so." They just need to cry and they need to just vent. And so just being there, and it's a skill I learned for sure over the last 20 years and has helped me be a better husband, a better parent, a better friend, and a better podcaster. Sitting with Jason, it allowed me to not be uncomfortable and not be awkward. I was like, "I love you, man. Like, let it out. Like, let's talk about this."
Mm-hmm.
And not try and jump in and ease the moment. Let him cry. Like, let him have that moment. He needed to get that out. It was really cathartic.
And I do this myself too. For some reason, when we all cry, we go to the like, "I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm crying. This is embarrassing. I'm sorry."
Or you get jokey.
Yeah. And I think especially guys, you know, they're like, "I'm sorry. This, I hate this." And I guess that just comes from somewhere in society that tells us, you know, don't cry and that's weak. But I'm so ready for that to be a mindset of the past.
It took me a while to figure out my mom is more than just a mom. She's got a whole life outside of motherhood. Mary Beth, she is a force to be reckoned with. Successful career, many talents, a great friend group. I could go on and on about my mom. I love her dearly. Well, this Mother's Day, give mom her flowers. She deserves the best. That's why I'm sending Farm Fresh flowers from Bouqs. That's short for bouquets. And I got you 25% off your entire Bouqs purchase so you can send some too. Here's why I like Bouqs. Bouqs is different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. Bouqs has also made it easy. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done. Mother's Day is May 12th, right around the corner. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now. And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, the wife, aunt, hey, even your grandma. Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris for 25% off. That's Bouqs.com, promo code Chris. Bouqs.com and use promo code Chris. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabel, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thanks for the questions, by the way, everybody. And thanks for, I mean, these were two of our biggest podcasts that we have ever dropped. And a lot of that goes to the man that Jason is and his popularity. And by the way, I reciprocated and did a Trading Secrets podcast with Jason. That'll be dropping soon, where we got into kind of my life in more so business as well, and told him some things I've never shared before. So look for Trading Secrets, his podcast. And again, my love to Caitlin, my love to Jay, and all of you. For taking the time to DM, message me, right into at the most dramatic pod ever, and give us these questions. But thank you very much. We have to, before we wrap this up, huge news. Oprah's
always huge news.
The Oprah. She turned 70, first of all. Happy birthday, Oprah.
An icon. It's a trailblazer.
It's weird. I know she's been in our lives for forever, but she's so timeless to me. She doesn't grow old. Does she? Like, I mean, I saw a picture of her.
Well,
first of all, she looks,
A, I think she looks amazing. Yeah. But B, she is always so energetic and positive that I think it feels youthful.
One of the things I want to talk about, and she's an icon and someone I respect, and I know you do too, as far as a journalist and things she accomplished in this business. But besides that, there's a reason she looks so fantastic. And she talked about that. And she has been very open about being on a weight loss drug.
We wanted to talk about it because I feel like you and I talk about this a lot. Like, I mean, for everybody, the Ozempic weight loss drug conversation.
Yeah. What's the other one? There's the, what's the, starts with an L? Wegovia. Yeah.
Or no, not with an L. Maybe there's another one. I don't know.
I think you're right.
But it has been, I mean, I've listened to other podcasts on it. And what's fascinating is the conversation keeps continuing. And I think it's because this drug is not done. I mean, we've talked to friends of ours who own a pharmacy and they're telling us, well, this is bigger than the biggest drug ever is known as Viagra. And this is bigger because it can apply to both, you know, sides of the population, men and women. And because, you know, a lot of people want to be on it, whether it's for health issues or just for aesthetic purposes. It's controversial, but also, you know, are people on it in secret? A lot of celebrities seem to be. So the conversation just keeps happening. And we have more questions than answers, I think, because I've been hearing and reading articles about how, you know, it's going to be start to be used on kids if it isn't already. So lots of questions, lots of backlash. And I was fascinated by, and I said, we got to talk about the Oprah of it all, because my question here is, can a reveal from Oprah that she is on a weight loss medication? And a proud reveal. She said she's, the quote is, "I am absolutely done with the shaming," end quote. She said she is using weight loss medication as a maintenance tool. And, you know, she touches on in this, it's a People magazine cover story. She touches on her past because Oprah's known for being open about her weight struggles, right?
Her entire career.
Yeah, the famous episode where she pulled out the wagon that had like the representation of all the fat on her body that she'd lost.
And she's yo-yoed through the years, through the marathon stuff and all that. It's always been a thing with her.
So she said, quote, "It was public sport to make fun of me for 25 years. I have been blamed and shamed, and I blamed and shamed myself." She talks about being called dumpy and frumpy by tabloids. And now she says that as she is set to turn 70, she wants to maintain a healthy weight long term, be done with the shame, and that she is on a weight loss medication after what she calls weight fluctuations over 50 years of her life. She says, "Yes, I did the yo-yo thing." She said, "I believe my willpower was failing," and she's done with it. So can Oprah being this open and this positive turn the tide? Can it stop the backlash? Does she have the power to do that?
She does, for sure. If I'm being devil's advocate, this is a wonderful find, an invention that we discovered this. And I do want to talk to medical experts to see, is it a 99% chance that it's going to be okay? And there's really only a 1% chance this can happen to you? Or is it,
Those are the big questions that I have.
What's the percentage?
Yeah, well, I just want like the real story from someone because I think there's a lot of arguing, a lot of probably misinformation out there. I'm just like, I want to know that. I'll use myself as an example because we do want to have some on. If I went on this tomorrow, what would the risks be for me? Like, that's what I want to know. And I know the answer isn't going to be the same for everybody, but I just want to know, what are the risks if you're kind of a healthy weight and only taking it to lose some weight? Now, I'm not saying, you know, listen, Oprah, this was her choice. Like she said, she struggled with it for years. I bring this up and I was fascinated by it because like how some real housewives have admitted to being on it. Some have been accused of being on it and haven't admitted whether they are or not. But I do think Oprah has the power to maybe quiet some of the backlash because I think people respect that she's already shared her journey and spent years of struggle.
There is a new podcast called Two Jersey Jays with Jackie Goldschneider and Jennifer Fessler. By the way, with iHeartRadio, happens to be under the Most Dramatic Pod umbrella. So our shout out to the Two Jersey Jays, who are in the top 10 of all podcasts. So congratulations, ladies. But they are talking a lot about Ozempic. One of them, very much on it. The other one, not quite.
And was she the one who had the major medical issue? There was a Real Housewife who like was hospitalized over it.
And so I'll let you look that up. And they're talking a lot about that. So give Two Jersey J's a listen, where all podcasts can be found. I'm proud of them for doing a great job. And another medical question I really want to dive into is, what is the percentage of fat you're losing? What is the percentage of muscle you're losing? Are you losing the muscle mass? And, you know, everyone kind of has this Ozempic body they're talking about. And that is the kind of stuff that, because I'm really into the health stuff and so are you, and eating healthy and all that. And I encourage people to get that info, but we are going to have these medical experts on very soon on one of our episodes to dive more into this. But I mean, this is how crazy it is. I went to breakfast with two of my buddies this morning. We were talking about it. We were talking about Ozempic. So it's at every breakfast table and every dinner table. And it's a big hot topic. And I am a big fan, and so is Lauren, of let's get the facts. Like, what is the truth?
We'll see if it comes up at your Christmas dinner table.
pass the yams and the Ozempic. And in that vein, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's a big week. Lauren and I send our love to you, to your families. I hope it finds you in good health. And we all have a wonderful holiday week and head into a phenomenal new year. Thank you for being with us. It's been a great year to celebrate with you. Have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you again soon because we have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at The Most Dramatic Pod Ever, and make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.